Just going to pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We just thank you. God, as we just contemplate and reflect that you bought us over. Oh, God, another year, God, that you have kept us, God. As we reflect on this year, and God, so many things that we've seen you bring us through, God, and bring us out, God, and bring us from, God. And we're just thankful right now in the name of Jesus. Thankful for another opportunity. Oh, God, we didn't have to come this morning. We got to come this morning. It was a privilege. It was an opportunity. Just like David said, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. And so we are so glad, God, that you are our Lord, our Savior. We're so glad that our minds are still regulated to want to serve you, God, as the only true and living God. Oh, God, we ask today, God, that your word would come forth, that it would bless us, God. It would help us to grow. It would water the seeds that is already planted in us, or plant a seed that hasn't been planted. But, God, let your word go out like you promised. And you said it would not come back void. So we thank you right now, and we claim that in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Okay, we're going to get this together. Okay, am I doing it right? Okay, I'm using my husband's. This kind of reminds me about, I hope this ain't Saul's armor this morning. It's not mine, it's his, okay? But I was thinking about this song as I was standing there, kind of like, it goes, you move mountains, you cause walls to fall with your power, you do miracles, and there is nothing that's impossible, and we stand in here only because you made a way. That just kept going through my mind, and I'm standing here only because you made a way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm standing here. You know, there's so much, you know, on Sunday morning. We're getting dressed and we're getting things together. And you know, I just, that moment of just pausing and pushing that all that extra stuff. And just, my gratitude is that I'm standing here only because he made a way. You know, it was funny because I have these eye drops that I have to take, lots of them. And so what happened is because I take so many of them, they gather in my eyes and pull in the corners. And there's always these, if y'all see me, make sure y'all tell me, there's always these little white, you know, like it looks like sleep boogers in your eyes. And so my husband was like, you know, babe, there, get your eyes, get your eyes. And then as they're getting my eyes and I'm getting my eyes, and then that peace comes over me too. That, you know, that I can wipe these eyes and I can see out of these eyes. Yeah, all right. And whatever's dripping out of them, as long as I can see out of them. Hallelujah. And I'm standing here only sometimes things that the enemy will try to make so important and so, you know, weigh on us. What we're going to cook for dinner, what's at home, what's in the oven. I'm standing here only because he's made a way. And just to breathe and let all that stuff just go out of our minds. And just, we're all here because he made a way. And he's moved mountains in our lives, right? He's performed so many miracles, right? I mean, just begin to think of the goodness of Jesus. And you just know that there's so much to just be, just to breathe, just to be happy about, that we're standing here only because he made a way. And all morning from prayer, from each person saying something this morning, you just kept confirming of the word. I liked how, Johnny, what did you just say? What did you just ask us? Did you give your best? And, you know, I was thinking about that. And, you know, a lot of times we go into the new year wanting more, you know. But, you know, to want more, you got to do more.
Yes.
You know, and God is really, you know, sometimes we want God to just, God, do it. You do it. You do it. You do it. And God is like, I'm just waiting for you guys. I've already done it. I'm just waiting for you to do what I've called you to do. And so God's really been, as I look at this year and 69 years.
Hallelujah.
You know, I've been saying 70, y'all, though, so I kind of get a little surprised because I keep saying I'm 70. I've been saying that all year. I'm going to be 70 years old. 70 years old. It's going to be 70. My husband says, babe, there you go again, adding that extra year. You're going to be 69. So there you go. I'm claiming it. There we go. Amen. But as I just been contemplating on the years and my heart, it, you know, in walking with Christ, is just one of the things that I've been just, am I really following him? Now you might be saying, Pastor, what do you mean? You're a pastor, you're a leader, you've been in church most of your life. You know, we can take it for granted that we're following God. And so I have been really just, you know, looking within myself and saying, God, why are you bringing that, you know, just constantly to me? I keep hearing him when he came to the disciples and said, to follow me and I will make you. And that just keeps going. And I've asked myself over, am I really following God? And so that's where this theme of what I'm talking about today is coming from, just meditating, praying, worship, just introspecting in myself, you know, which we all need to do. Because we can all say, you know, I'm a Christian, I follow God. But it's something that we really, really need to see. It's not something that we just need to take for granted that we're following God. We need to really see that we're following God. And we'll know it through the word. Am I following God? That's the only way you know that you're following God is if you're following the word, you know? And you can see the word being played out in your life. And so today, the theme is come follow. Come follow. Fully committed. Fully committed. Fully committed. And I loved how Elder Johnny says, have I given my best? Have I given my all? Have I been fully committed this year? In Matthew 4 and 19, and I said this year, but I even want to say this day. This day. And I do want to say good morning to Miss Jean. When I looked around and I saw you, I just got a smile in my heart. Just kind of took me back to the women being in our women's, you know, enrichment, and just her heart for women. I could see that, and when I turned around and looked at you, and then hearing from Jessica, all the love that you sow into her, and that's what we need. We need to be those kind of women, right? That sow into one another. But come follow, fully committed. In Matthew 4 and 19, in the Amplified Bible, it says, and he said to them, come after me as disciples, letting me be your guide. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I love the Amplified Bible because it kind of amplifies the word that we can look at, come and follow. You know, follow can be, you know, it can kind of be vague. You know, but in the Amplified Bible, it says, come after me, letting me be your guide. Okay? letting me be your guide. Come follow me. Because we can follow from afar, from a distance. But he's like, letting me be your guide, follow me. That's what I want, that kind of followership. That you are actually letting me be your guide. And he says, I will make you fishers of men. In the Message Bible, it says, Jesus said to them, come with me. And I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass.
All right, all right.
And what I like about that is because sometimes, you know, when we hear, come follow me, we already got it made up in our mind what that means.
Right.
And so we already, you know, well, come follow me. This is what he means. He means go to church. He means this. But God was saying, he was talking to fishermen, okay? When he said this, he was talking to fishermen who already were great fishermen that knew how to catch fish. And so he said, come follow me. But he knew that they were thinking about the fish in the water. And so because they was thinking about the fish in the water, they, you know, what can you tell us? We're pretty good at it. We bring in lots and lots of fish. We're known in the community as fishers that catches a lot of fish. What could he possibly tell us? And Jesus knew that their mind was in that lane, but he was like, no, I'm going to make you something more than catching, as he said, perch and bass. You know how to catch perch and bass, but do you know how to catch men? And he knew that there was a greater mission, a spiritual mission that he was calling them to that was beyond catching perch and bass. He was calling them into come into partnership with the mission he came for, and that was to catch men. And he knew that we could botch it up a whole lot trying to catch men, right? And so he said, I'm going to show you something bigger and greater than perch and bass. Perch and bass will eat them, will swallow them, and then we'll let them out of our bodies, right? But men, their eternity, it was an eternal thing that he wanted them to be a part of this mission. In Luke 9 and 23 in the Amplified, it says this, and he said to all, because I don't want to, I love the Bible, sometimes we'll think he's just talking to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but today he's talking to Juan, and he's talking to Amber, and he's talking to Natalia, and he's talking to us all, okay? So the Bible is to us all right? And he said to all, if any person, not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but he says, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself.
Yes.
Here we go, amplifying deny, because deny might mean not eating chocolate for today, okay? Let him deny himself. Amplify amplifies this. It means disown himself. Forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests. Refuse and give up himself. Now, these are very popular statements right now in our world today. They're not very popular to say, disown yourself, forget yourself, lose sight of yourself and your own interests, refuse and give up on yourself. What are you talking about? In this whole world where it's all about me, I'm going to do me. I'm going to do me, boo. Don't we say that? He's telling us deny yourself. And he's giving you the definition that is going to help you to be able to catch men. Because unless you do these things, you will give up on men. And you won't be able to catch men, okay? And take up his cross daily. Take up his cross daily and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living and if need be, in dying also. Wow. Now see how the Amplified brings this out? When it says, follow me, it means to cleave steadfastly to me. Follow me. God is saying, follow Jesus. Cling to Jesus. Conform to Jesus. Live by his example. And if need be, die also. These things sound so exciting this morning, doesn't it? Like, I want to do that. I want to do that. That's why the first thing says, if you will to come after him. Because you have to want to. Because to want to, we can want when things are good and things feel good and it goes with what we think. But these things don't go with what the natural man thinks. And so there has to come a will over us to do this. This commitment that God is talking about is not seasonal. We just came out of, as people would say, the Christmas season. And during the Christmas season, you will find people that haven't went to church or haven't even looked in their word or have. During this season, there's a lot of people that will go to church, that will talk about God, be interested in God. But when this season is over, he's put on the back burner until Christmas time again, or till Easter, okay? But this commitment that God is calling to is not seasonal. It's not something that we left behind on the 25th of December as we opened our presence and now we're back into just into ourselves. It's not a seasonal commitment. It's not a conditional commitment. It is not a commitment that's based on our feelings. It means putting Christ above our own desires, our own preferences, our own understanding, trusting that his ways are higher than ours. It means staying faithful in every season, whether in joy or hardship, because our faithfulness is rooted in love and trust in Jesus. It's wholehearted surrender to his will. Okay. Wholehearted, not half-hearted, but wholehearted to his will, even when it's difficult, confusing, or uncomfortable. A lot of times, you know, at Christmas times, you know, it's not everybody, because we know across the world, there are people that they don't get presents. There are no presents under a Christmas tree. There is no Christmas tree. There is no food. There is uncomfortable situations. But a lot of times in, somebody was saying why in America you could go into different places, like when we went to Africa, where there was just the worship of God was just so profound, and it was just people everywhere worshiping. And people said, why is it in America that people, because we have so many distractions. And we have so much stuff. Just stuff that when you go to these countries that they don't have those distractions, you know, and it would seem though that it would seem that in their lack that, you know, that they would be sadder than we are in our much, you know, and it would seem that in our much we would be more worshipful because we got so much more, but we're not, because those that so much more is what distracts us. It's what takes our mind off of Jesus. We start to worry about all the stuff that we're going to have, that we have, who's going to take it, you know, what new thing is going to, we're just, our attention is so off of Jesus. But God wants us to worship him and to love him and put him first no matter what the season is. In Mark 12, 30 to 31, and you guys just pray with me because I keep wanting to go up and touch the screen because mine is touch screen and I got to go down here. And so that's what I'm doing. If you see me pausing, I'm doing the wrong thing. Okay? But God is my help. Thank you, Lord. In Mark 12, 30 through 31, it says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. There's a word in there that he keeps saying, all. God doesn't want a divided heart. He doesn't want a divided mind. He doesn't want our strength divided. He wants us to love him with all. And in this is where we find that distractions is what divides our hearts. Instead of loving God with all our heart, we find ourselves distracted by people and possessions, things. I love God, but I love that. I love God, but I love him more. You know, we find ourselves being distracted and pulled away from God by all. But God said, I want all of you. I want all your love, because if you give God all your love, you can give people the right kind of love. All right? In Mark 12, 30 through 31, in the Amplified, it says this, and you shall love the Lord your God, and I love this, and I want y'all to hear it, and you shall love the Lord your God out of and with your whole heart. And out of and with all your soul, your life. And out of and with, I want y'all to really get this. And out of and with all your mind, with your faculty of thought and your moral understanding. And out of and with all your strength. This is the first and principal commandment. The second is like unto it, and it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. As I begin to read this, what's popped out of me is how the amplifies that with out of and with. Out of and with. Only to the capacity of what's in can you love. Only to the how much you got in you can you give out of you, okay? Out of and with. Only by that. If you have small capacity, oh, come on, that's how much you're going to love. Out of what's in you. What's in you is what's going to come out of you. What's going to be able to be given is the capacity that you have. So this year, as I look back, I was one of the things I kept asking God, more love, more love, more love. And it seemed like more challenges, more challenges, more challenges. You know? Because the only way you can get full is to recognize what you don't have. And so a lot of us say, oh, I love everybody. I'm a loving person. I'm a loving person. And I'm so glad that our God is like, okay, let me see. Let me show you. Let me show you, because a lot of times we have that kind of confidence that I love everybody and I can love through anything. And then all of a sudden, boom. And you realize that the capacity that you think you have, you need some more love. And I'd be like, God, more love, more love, more power, more of you in my life. So out of, and I want to explain this to you, out of, when it says out of and with, out of indicates that our love should originate from the depths of our being. Uh-huh. It's about an internal devotion that flows naturally from our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, it should flow naturally. When the capacity gets to a point, it just comes out of us. You know, just comes out. But when it's those jerky moments, you know, where you gotta, God help me. You got to work at loving. You got to work at, you know, saying hi. You got to work at not trying to go down the other aisle so you have to speak to her. Got to work at it, y'all. We need more love. Our capacity is not enough. It's not full. It's not on full. We know it. We know it because the Holy Spirit lets you know that, you know, You right there, right there, right there. Things we say, things we think, things we do. It is not natural when it's not natural. Love is just natural. For God so loved the world that he gave. He wasn't up there like, oh, I don't want to do it for these hard-headed people. I don't want to do it. That was not. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. And do you know that he gave his son before we even came into this world? In the beginning, the redemption plan was already made for us. It was already made before we even sinned. He so loved us. It was natural. God is love. He just does. He's not does love. He is love. And see, there's where the capacity has to get greater, because a lot of us can do love, but we not. That isness of love is not natural. It hasn't, because there's some places where that isness will not work in us, because that natural is, I can't do that. I can do that, but I can't do that. I can't forgive her. I don't care what. I can't. But God can, because God is. And the isness of God has to come in us. Come on, we got to ask for God. Your is, and look, because he is in us, it lets us know that we have the ability. We have the ability to love like God, to walk like God, to do his will, because the isness is in us. But we are going to have to make a choice. And every day we got to make a choice. God, I want to be like you. I want to walk like you, talk like you. You see, we keep saying, God, you do it. And God wants to do it in you and through you, in and through me. And so it's about an internal. We got to get devoted to God on the inside, so that everything of God flows naturally from our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then that was from, you know, when we said out of and with. With signifies the active expression of that love. So what's inside of us, you know how some people say, I got the love of Jesus deep down in my heart, and my father, and then we would always laugh, and daddy would say, but it's got to come out, baby, it's got to come out. I got to see it in action. But it's so deep you can't see it. It's too deep, y'all, because it's got to come out. It's got to be in an active thing. So with means, it signifies active expression of that love. We can't just say, I love, I love, I love, and there's no expression of it. If Pastor David says, I love you, babe, I love you, babe, I love you, babe, but there's no expressions, nothing that, you know, he doesn't provide, he doesn't take out the trash sometime. Come on, I'm just saying, he does, y'all, but I'm saying there's an active expression. Love is not just a word without action. And sometimes we say, well, I said I love you, but okay, show me love. Show me love. And God shows us in that he gave. He didn't just say, I love y'all. He gave us Jesus Christ. So it signifies an active expression of that love. It's not enough for love to reside on the inside. It must be demonstrated through our actions, our decisions, and our behavior. So love is demonstrated through our actions, our decisions, the decisions that we make show love, and our behaviors. The behaviors that we walk in shows love. A loving God is both with us, and he comes out of us, right? He's right there with us. He's internal. He wants us to know that we need to have an internal and an external, a practice that is actively expressed in all facets of our life. Not just talked about. Expressed. Express yourself.
Amen.
Come on, express yourself. We need to learn how to express Christ in us, the hope of glory. A lot of times we say Christ in us, and that's the scripture, the hope in us. But it has to come out of us. As people of God, as even to the world, we say Christ in us. But it has to be expressed on the outside. We can walk around sadder than the world saying Christ, the hope of glory within us. And walk around sad, depressed, walk around hopeless. And the people are like, well, what good is that? What good is him being in you if there's no hope that's shown on the outside? So we need to express ourselves and express the power of God in our life. Jesus' invitation, come and follow, is linked together. It's calling for both an initial approach and a continuous commitment. Coming to Jesus signifies turning towards him, acknowledging his call, and beginning a relationship with him. It does signify that. But however, that's only the beginning step with him. The step is incomplete without an ongoing action to follow, which entails living in obedience to his teachings and embodying his examples in daily life. When we come and we accept the call and we come, God says, come to me. We hear the invitation, come unto me, come. That's a great thing. When we come up to the altar or wherever the altar is, because the altar doesn't have to be this altar. You could come to God in your car. You can come to God in your room. You can come to God out on the base. You can come wherever the initial call is, okay? That's a good thing when you come. But a lot of times we can let that stop right there. And we say, I came to Jesus. But our lives can be looking so jacked up and messed up and crazy and weak. Why? Because we just came. We haven't gone on to follow. We came. We can come to the altar. We can say, Lord, I come. And one thing that God is, some things we have to be careful that it goes beyond emotion. Have you ever heard a song that could take you to heaven in a moment? And you're in church and you just, you just know that song. If we keep singing it, I'm in Jesus' face. And walk out this door and be ready to get mad at your husband. Get ready. That didn't hold you. You came. You came, but you didn't make a decision to follow. And God, he said, come and follow. Come follow me. Not just come, but follow. When he told the disciples, come follow, he didn't mean for them to just come and stand there and look at him, but he meant come and follow. Everywhere I go, whatever I do, whatever I say, I want you to follow me by my example. Do everything that I do. Isn't it, you know, have you ever played Simon said do this or you're doing exactly? Well, we want to do exactly what Jesus says. And when Elder was asking how we done our best, that's what I look back at so many times that I've had, bad days or weak days is because I wasn't following what God told me to do exactly. I mean, even in the natural, I've seen in the natural there has been times where my doctor said, put this in your eyes 5 times and I only did 4. And then when I go back, you know, but we know when we have an expectation of the end that we want, okay? And so, but when we go back, you know, I remember one of my doctors a long time ago, and this always reminds me about my eyes right now, when my eyes first got checked years ago and I had diabetes, and he said, okay, you need to take care of these eyes. He said, but I can't make you take care of them. I can only tell you with diabetes, it affects your eyes. He says, but I can't make you take care. That's what God is saying. I can only tell you. I can't make y'all. But I can only tell you how you're going to get along in this life victorious. I can only tell you how to navigate. You know how we do on the GPS, you know, it tells us to go one way, but we know a better way. It says I can, and you know what the problem is that sometimes the GPS, my husband would be like, oh, they're taking us on the longer way, okay? I know a shorter way. Can I tell you there's no shortcuts in God?
Come on.
I want you to know that on earth, man may have some little foul-ups, okay? Don't you get used to that with God, because there is no foul-ups with God. There is no shortcuts. What he said for us to do, for it to come out the way he says for it to come out, we got to do it that way. We have to do it that way. And so God wants us to move in the way that he wants us to do, to come after him and follow. Get past the beginning step. Get past being incomplete. This is for me, and I don't know what your thing is for next year, but for me, as I've been just reflecting on, man, I'm almost 70 years old, y'all, and I don't know. I know I ain't going to live another 70, okay? So my thing is, I know for a fact I'm closer than I've ever. Y'all might be in y'all's 20s and 30s and think, I got a long time to live. But let me tell you, you don't count on it, because people are dying at 10. But I'm saying that I've almost got to 70 is even more urgent in my heart to not be incomplete in my walk with Christ. Is doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing, even the more so. Evaluating, where am I with you, Lord? What am I doing? Am I doing everything you said? Am I letting my feelings get in the way? Am I letting my understanding get in the way of what you are telling me to do? I just want to have what one of the young girls, Maya, said about Mary last Sunday. That it was perhaps just her yes. Just yes. Not God, not why God, I don't understand. I can't wrap my mind. Some of us, that's our problem. I can't wrap my mind around that, God. Just say yes. Just say yes. Because everything, I've lost so much ground on everything that I've had to wrap my mind around before I did it for the Lord. And I keep thinking, if I just did it, I'd be so much further down the road. But I had to keep on waiting to wrap my mind around it, to understand it, to see if it worked out in somebody else's life before it worked out in mine. Just say yes. God wants us to say yes. I'm hoping I'm helping some younger person. You don't have to wait to 69 to get it, okay? Please get it right now. I'm telling you, get it now, okay? What God says in his word is truth, and his word is no lie. And what he tells you not to do, and there's going to be a consequence, there's going to be a consequence. And our problem is because the consequence is not speedily, we don't think it's going to happen, so we stay where we're at, only adding up more and more and more, that when it finally does come, it's like, hear me out this morning, you guys. Jesus emphasizes this in the scripture, that he wants us to follow him, and he wants us to follow his example. In Luke 9 and 23, it says again, then he said to them all, whosoever wants to be my disciple. Now, let's start with that. Whosoever wants to be. There's where we got to start. Do I want to be? Have I come to the conclusion that life my way is not the best way? Have I really got to that point that I realize me guiding my life has got me into a lot of trouble and that I do need the Lord? So There has to come whosoever wants to be. Because if you don't want to be, you're going to be in and out, up and down, all around, because you haven't made up your mind. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so we don't want to be double-minded. So whosoever wants to be. This morning, as we're going into this new year, who wants to be a disciple of Jesus? Whosoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself. Must deny. You got to deny. You must. There's no other way. There's just no other way. I have to deny myself and take up their cross daily. Daily take up the cross and follow me. This underscores that true discipleship involves a daily commitment to follow him. Every day. You can't get up today and say, I'm going to be me today. Today I'm going to get up and I'm a child of God and I'm going to follow God. You got to get up. I'm following God. Not merely a one-time decision to come to him. So sometimes we think, I came to the altar. I said, I come to the Lord. Now I just go out here and whatever case, sarah, whatever happens. No, every day it's... After that decision, you keep making that decision every single day. I'm going to follow you. You don't need this altar right here. You get up out your bed. I'm going to follow you. You look over at your wife or your husband. Lord, I'm going to follow you. Come on, you go to work. I'm going to follow you. Every single day is a decision that you are making, because every single day the enemy's coming after you to make you change that decision. Don't forget that every single day the enemy's trying to make you go back. In Galatians 5 and 7, it talks about this. He tells them, you were running the race nobly. Who has interfered in, hindered, and stopped you from your heeding and following the truth? In Galatians, he was telling them, you are running well. You know, have you ever you're running well, you came in, you're serving the Lord, you're praising the Lord, you're in your word, you're praying, you're fasting, you're loving, and then all of a sudden, you look by the end of the year, some of us are like, what's going on? Have you ever just like, what's going on with me? I don't feel the joy anymore. I don't even feel like reading or talking about God anymore. And this scripture is like, he said, you did run well. Okay, when you start feeling like that, you guys, don't just be like, evaluate it, seriously evaluate it, but then realize, wait, I was running well. And for me to be where I am right now, where I don't want to do it, then that means some kind of hindrance has come in. Something has stopped me, and I need to reflect on that, and I need to pray on that, and I need to see what it is that has taken away my joy, taken away, you know, that tenacity to want to do. In the Message Bible, it says, you were running superbly. Who cut in on you? Deflecting you from the true course of obedience. Who cut in on you? Satan cut in on you. Come on. He cut in on you with some distractions. And because you weren't being diligent in the disciplines, then once you stop doing the disciplines, then what happens? You get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And the enemy knows things that can hinder us. So I asked God, I said, God, yes, there's been places where I just feel like, wait, that's not, I was right there, but I'm not doing that the same. So I began to just really reflect on that and say, God, what things has hindered me? So these may not even be things that hinder you, but I'm using them for me, so you might can think about if any of these things, comfort and convenience. Okay, sometimes we get hindered by comfort and convenience. You know, especially when following demands, sacrifice, and stepping out of our comfort zone. When God, you know, we get used to doing this, and God is calling us higher and higher. But we like our comfort zone. We like, you know, we like that, you know, I just come and stand on the front row and God is saying, I want you to go over there and shake somebody's hand. And we're just, that's out of my comfort zone. God is, he's calling us. They can hinder us from following Jesus fully, because when Jesus wants us to do something, he's usually going to tell us to go. Jesus is constantly pulling us forward and upward. He's constantly pulling us forward and upward. But we want to stay right where we're at. And we don't want God, this feels okay. This feels good. I don't want to go forward. I don't want to. It's still going to demand too much more of me. It's going to demand too much more of my time. It seems like it's going to demand too much more of my heart. It seems like it's going to demand too much of my mind. That's why he said, give him all your heart, your mind, and your strength. Because we're like, this strength where I'm doing in this strength, this feels okay. I can do this. God said, I got some more for you to do. And it's going to put some more on your strength. Put a demand on that strength. And we're like, no, I feel comfortable. I got this. You know, I got this. I could do this with my eyes closed. God says, I need you to open them because we got some other stuff to do. So sometimes it's that comfort and convenience that can hinder us. Also, compromise. Where are we compromising? Where are we compromising? This is what I really, really, really thought about that. Our world, if we look in our world, we sometimes as Christians compare ourselves against the world instead of comparing ourselves against the word. Now I want y'all to hear what I said. Sometimes we compare ourselves against the world instead of comparing ourselves against the word. So we say, at least I ain't doing that no more. I done come a long way. At least I'm not doing that. They're doing all that. This is all I'm doing. You're comparing yourself against the world. But God said, come into my word and now start comparing yourself against the word. Because some things we think that God tolerates that he hates. But God hates sin, and we think, because I'm just doing a little bit of that, and because God is such a gracious God, and because he hasn't done anything to me yet, he tolerates. No, God still hates sin. He still hates sin, and he wants you to come up out of it, and he wants you to put it down, let it go, get out of that. But we think because he is allowing us without a spanking, you know, we're just like children. You know how children, they keep doing something, and they think because mama hasn't snatched them or, you know, it's okay. And then when mama finally snatched them, then they're in shock, like, what in the, but they've been doing it all along. And God is saying that sometimes we are not looking in those areas where we're compromising. Where are you compromising in what you're looking at? Where are you compromising on where you're going? Where are you compromising in what you're doing? Where are you compromising in what you're saying? Because God does have a standard, you guys. And sometimes we thank you, God, for his amazing grace. Thank you for his love in growing us and changing us and transforming us. But don't you think for one minute that God is like, okay, that's okay, because that's just what you got in you. He said, no, that's not okay, and that's why I'm trying to pull it out of you. I'm trying to pull that thought out of you, that mindset. I'm trying to pull out that thing that you think is that unholy thing. Let me just say, that unholy thing that we can sometimes pass off because it's not as unholy, okay? I'm not ripping your head off with cuss words. I'm just saying, oh, dang. Now somebody in here is gonna. I'm just saying, oh dang. Do you know what God? Well, God's gonna change your conversation. Do you? Please. God told me, Linda. I said that when you come to me, I make all things new. Isn't it funny how we say, but that wasn't so bad. You got to make that new too. He said, I said what? I said I'm going to make all things new. I'm going to make your conversation. I'm going to make your dress. I'm going to make your mindset. I'm going to make your walk. I'm going to make your talk. I'm going to make your behavior. All things new. All things new. And you know what? After a while, sometimes, God has showed me. I am a very one because I have so many grandkids, y'all. I have like I'm almost losing count. So it's like 33, but I have so many teenagery grandkids, and so they teach me all the slang, okay? But God has been talking to me about this thing because I tried to, you know, some of their words. I said, so what does that mean? You know, and they'll tell me that word, and next you know, I'm saying that word, you know, and you know. I'm with my grandkids, I'm trying to be cool. And God said, keep on being cool. He said, keep on being cool. You're getting too old. You ain't going to know when to stop. Keep on. And next thing you know, you saying stuff. Like one Sunday, I said, shut the front door.
All right.
Now look at some of y'all already breathing hard. I said... I'm thinking it's a cool slang. Do you guys know? Because my, you know, and I'm preaching, and this is what I said. And I wish Cassandra was on the line now. Cassandra was standing in the back of the church, our dear Cassandra, and she's looking at me like this. And at the end, I'm thinking, what did I do? But I got so used to playing around with the kids and, okay, that play around, that all that. See, what's in you most? See, don't think. You know, watch the movies that's cussing up a storm. What's coming in you most? It'll sneak out of you at the most inappropriate time. Because it's what you're getting full of. It's what you're letting your capacity, and you're thinking, it's, you know, oh, it's nothing. It's, you're compromising. You're allowing the world to become a part. God's trying to get the world out of you. And we find places to let the world come back in. And the enemy's like, go ahead. The enemy's just, okay, learn it, learn the slang, learn all that stuff. And we think by doing that, I'm relating to my teenagers. I'm relating. I'm, you know, I'm down with, I'm supposed to be bringing them up to Christ. Oh, God. See, I'm just talking where the Lord showed me, okay? Watch that compromising, okay? Another thing is pride, self-righteousness, and inflated sense of self can hinder one's relationship because humility is essential to be an obedient follower. And how that, even what I just said, that is that inflated sense of, I can handle that. You know, I'm not going to be saying that, you know, but God is like, no, don't. That pride that says that I can, you know, I can go back to the worldly stuff and be okay. Uh-oh. Come on, you guys. I want us to, God is saying, come on. These are the things that we need to look at, what is pulling us away from being true followers of Christ. Following Christ is following kingdom standards, kingdom principles. That's following. There's no other way. There's no other way. It's not mixing with the world and mixing with God. It's following. And people say, oh, you're just too much. Oh, that's just too much. No. To be a light, you got to stand out. You can't blend in. You got to stand. And there's a lot of blending in the kingdom of God. And God said, we've got to stand out. Stand up, stand out for Christ. You know, I was thinking, I want to say this because some of you guys, just to be honest, where something hit me and Pastor and hit me was as I was looking, and this is just an honest thing, no condemnation on anybody, but what God, you know, convicted me of. Okay, so I was looking at this year. This is our second year that we didn't have Christmas morning service.
All right.
And in my ear, the enemy was like, let those people have time with their families. Let them go home and let them get up and make their Christmas breakfast and have time with their family. This is my whole mindset, you know? And so, there's nothing wrong with that. And I kept saying, devil, you're a liar. You will not condemn me. This is what I was saying. So then the last Sunday, y'all, I remember I was telling y'all, whose birthday was it? You know that we're like children on our birthday. We want what we want.
Yeah. All right.
And even if it's somebody else's birthday, we want what they have. And the Lord just began to deal with me. So like even with New Year's, I just want y'all to know what I wrestle with. Even with New Year's night, me and Pastor, we are constantly thinking about the flock and praying about the flock. So it was like, oh, you know what? You know, New Year's, there's all kind of things going on in Seattle. They can go up there, see the lights. They can see the bomb, bomb, bombs of the lights going 10, 9, 8, 7, back. You know, they don't want to be always sitting up in church. My husband said, what, girl, what got into you? I'm standing last night, and I'm standing and I'm washing dishes. And that word came back to me. And I said, it's the why that the enemy wants to take away. Jesus' birthday, and I went back to my father. We didn't get up and open a gift. We didn't do anything on Christmas morning until we gave Jesus Christmas praise. We honored Christ because it was his birthday. And we gave him glory and put on our little whatever and went to church and worshiped the Lord. We gave him what, you know, don't, why are you going to give somebody what you want instead of giving them what they want? And so we gave Jesus what he wants, worship. And then I thought about something that was always in my heart when I was growing up, and it's always been in my heart as I'm wrestling with this whole thing about not having New Year's night service. I know y'all wasn't wrestling because all y'all wanted to be here. So I was just wrestling, and I was like, you know what? I remember that my mother would always say to me, she goes, Linda, how you bring New Year's in? You know, like giving God the first fruit, like giving him your tithe, give him the first fruit of the year. She said, because when you give him the first fruit of your tithe, he blessed the whole other 90%. You give him the first of the year, he blesses the whole. That was something that I was bought up on. That was something that was in my heart. Give God the first. Okay? And as I was standing there, I was like, what is wrong with you? Where have you compromised so much that the kingdom standard is on the background? And the world, I'm supposed to be bringing the kingdom standard, but I feel you're cheated if you don't have the world's. And it hit home. Because I thought to myself, I don't know when I'm going out of here. But the standard that I set, I want my children to see a standard of living for God first, utmost, the highest standard of all. Because as I look at this world, and I hear even out of my own children's mouth, is this world is crazy. There's a lot of crazy stuff. They're seeing this world in turmoil. But if we as God's standard don't stand up, it'll be in worse turmoil than ever. How did prayer get out of schools? How did all the standards? It's because the Christians, we didn't stand up. We was like, oh, we don't need all that. Oh, we're putting too much on them. Oh, that no. 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 We need to stand for Jesus. Stand for righteousness. Stand for holiness. Stand for the word of God. So that when we get out of here, if there's many more days after some of us get out of here, for our young people, they'll be able to be like King Josiah. And look, when everything's so crazy, they're going to be able to look back and say, wait a minute, it is crazy, but I remember Mama. I remember Daddy. I remember Sister So-and-so. I remember them saying, house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. House of the Lord. Put him first. Put him above all things. Put him above everything. I don't come to bring condemnation this morning. I do come to bring conviction so that you can turn around and tell that ugly Satan that, wait a minute, God is first. God is first. God is above it all, because when everything plays out, you guys, when everything with pleasure plays out, when sports plays out, when relationships plays out, when all these things hurt your children, they're going to need Jesus. They're going to need Jesus. And if they don't have him to a capacity in their life, they are going to turn to a gun to their head, to some drugs in their vein, to laying up in some whore bed, to losing their identity, to anything that will make them feel better, because we didn't make the stand that Jesus is the best thing. The best thing. And he is the answer for everything in this world today. Another thing, and the most important one, is sin. Sin is the big distraction. And unconfessed sin and habitual sin. Some of us have been crying, Lord, take me out, take me out, take me out. And we keep going back in. Now listen, I've been there. I know the cry. But God knows real cry, and God knows fake cry. Don't you know that about your kids? You know the real and you know the fake. When we say, take me out, there's something in us that is trying our best to get out. We might fail at it, okay? We might fail at it, but we're doing something to come out. God knows if you but turn an inch from it. God knows if you but, I'm not going to call her no more. I'm not going to call her no more. I'm not going to call her no more. God, you said don't call her no more. God, I want out. I want out. I'm not going to call her no more. I don't. But you call and then you repent. Do you understand? God, I'm sorry. Help me. Help. Have you ever been to help me? Help me. Help me. Help me. God knows that. But God also knows when you said, I'm not going to call her no more. I'm not going to be calling no more. And you're just like, shoot, I'm calling her. He knows when you don't care. God, habitual sin is that you're keeping on doing it. It's a habit. You're just keeping on doing it, and you're keeping on doing it. That is the thing that is still your joy. Still, you know, like, where am I, God? What's going on in my life? What sin have you made a habit of? that you're keeping on doing. And you're wondering, where's the joy of the Lord? Why come I come in the house of the Lord? I can't lift up my hands. I can't praise you, God. I can't open my word. Where's that habitual sin? That one that you've made a habit of doing it. That unconfessed sin. Where's that sin that you won't confess? Look, I'm talking to us that know and understand that we have accountability in the house of the Lord. Unconfessed sin and habitual sin, it creates a barrier that even when you want to be happy in the Lord, you want to wave your hands, but you know that there's habitual sin and there's unconfessed sin. We got to recognize these hindrances. We got to recognize them. That's the first step, okay? That's the first step toward overcoming. And then through prayer, through studying the scripture, somebody says, but I can't pray. Because have you ever got so till you can't pray no more? I don't know. I've been there. Been there. When I couldn't pray. Study the scriptures. Somebody says, I've been there. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? If you're here this morning, okay, if you're here this morning and you're hearing me and you're saying, that's where I'm at, that's where I'm at. I can't pray. I can't open my word. Let me tell you, you're already ahead. You're here.
Amen.
Okay, you're here. There's a seed that's going in to you right now, okay? You're here. You broke past whatever was hindering you to get here. You're here. Another thing is finding an accountability partner. Okay, it's something about when we first come to Christ, we learn all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we first come to Christ, that's a wonderful thing. Come on, that's a wonderful thing that gets me up out of my seat. All of sin. But then something happens as we start staying in the house of the Lord. We look around and say, I'm the only one struggling. I'm the only one. The enemy says, see, you're the only one. Look at all those perfect Christians. How many are still having some struggles? I want everybody to look around, because the devil is a liar. Come on. Now I want you to understand that when you come in the house of the Lord, there's some accountability that you can have in the house of the Lord because there's some understanding in the house of the Lord. Now I want the understanding to be for the person that's seeking it, and then I want the understanding to be for the one that they might come to you. Don't you start acting like all of a sudden you don't know what sin is. Okay? Come on, let's be real. Let's be real. And let's hey, bruh, I'm with you. I'm with you. What you need me to do? Say, do you need to call me when you feel like going there? Do you need to call me when you need to call her? Do you need me to come over? What do you need me to do? Let's be that for one another. Let's be that for one another so that our joy can remain, our strength can remain, our mindset can remain right in Christ. Let's be that accountability for one another. Let's not be afraid of accountability. A lot of times we're afraid of accountability. We come in and we get to the altar and then we think when we get back to our chair, everybody has the expectation that we've become perfect. We have not become perfect. We have just become ready for God to work on us. And so he does that through us. And then our last one, you guys, that helps us is to honor, and this is what I ask myself, honor the Holy Spirit. Are we honoring the Holy Spirit? And I can say, yes, I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues. I honor the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, but do you listen to me? You pray in tongues, you speak in tongues, but do you always listen to me? Because the Holy Spirit, every area that we're weak in, the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. It helps us to apply Jesus' teaching in our lives. It helps us to align with God's will. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to obey. When we say, I just can't, I just can't, I just can't, it lets me know that I'm really not leaning into the Holy Spirit. I'm really not honoring the Holy Spirit when I say, I just can't, I just can't. I just don't want to. So what I need to do is say, be honest with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Help me to do it because I don't want to do it. Be honest with yourself. I mean, with the Holy Spirit, I don't want to, but you can help me.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit gives us the power to obey. It gives us the strength and the desire. Did y'all know that? The Holy Spirit will let our desire align with God's desires. Yeah. Just be honest with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Have you been talking to the Holy Spirit lately? Holy Spirit, I'm weak there. Holy Spirit, this is where I keep falling. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me to align with God's word. Help me. And the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes people be in the middle of the ocean and they don't have to drown if all they would just say is help. But sometimes we won't say help. Holy Spirit just wants to help you. Holy Spirit, somebody said I said last in my little Holy Spirit activate. Come on, stir it up. Stir it up. The Holy Spirit wasn't meant to be just sleeping inside of you. It's supposed to be acting inside and through you. The Holy Spirit convicts and transforms us. It prompts us to repentance. Come on. The Holy Spirit will prompt you to be sorry, to repentance, to ask God for. Do what the Holy Spirit says. And spiritual growth. Through the Holy Spirit's transformation work, we become more Christ-like. And then the Holy Spirit provides comfort and encouragement. Sometimes we're so depressed over where we're at, but somebody needs to say, Holy Spirit, I'm not where I used to be. Be honest. I'm not where I used to be. Holy Spirit's not mad at you. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. I'm not where I was. I'm not running like I used to run. And if you just be still, the Holy Spirit will encourage you. I love the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit doesn't wag his finger at you. But it comes to encourage you. It comes to remind you, you can make it. You did it before. You can do it again. Come on, get back up. Get back up. I love the Holy Spirit because it reminds us also that you're not alone. The Holy Spirit reminds us of God's presence and of God's faithfulness. His faithfulness is to say, that thing that I started in you, I'm faithful to finish it in you. I don't care how bad it looks today, but that thing I started in you. See, that's what the Holy Spirit, if it's telling you anything else, it's not the Holy Spirit. That thing that I started in you, I'm faithful. I'm faithful to finish it. And this strengthens our resolve. As we honor the Holy Spirit, this is what strengthens our resolve. This what strengthens our mindset. This what strengthens us to get back into the race and keep on running, keep on running, keep on running. This morning as we stand.
Thank you, God.
I just told you some places that the Lord dealt with me. I'm telling you to let him deal with you. When you go to God, go honestly before him and say, Lord, I loved when he just asked that, have you done your best? You know, I don't want to even be saying, I think I've done my best. I want to know where I didn't do my best. Lord, show me so that I can do better. I want to do what God wants me. I want to be a God pleaser. How about you? You know, we try to please so many. We want to be people pleasers, me pleasers. Can we just be God pleasers this year? God, I just want to please you. God, let me please you. Lord, I thank you that out of our capacity this year, we're going to find out what's in us. because it's going to show up
how he hears
on the outside. And so we want to be on full capacity in the Lord, all right?
How he
and that means getting closer to God.
To be
doing the disciplines that get us, Lord, take me back to when I first
came.
I want to do anything and everything you wanted me to do. I was ready to do it. Take me back to that, yes. This morning, if there's anybody that wants to come up with me this morning, we're going to pray.
On solid ground.
We are going to pray over where we're at now, where we want to be in God.
Come on. How he saved me.
It's okay, it's okay.
How he raised me.
Because we're honoring right now. We're honoring what God is saying in our hearts. He's saying,
with the Holy Ghost.
Come, my daughter. Come, my son.
How he healed me.
How he healed.
There's so much more I got for you.
To the
there's just so much more I want
to
do through you.
When I
there's just so much more I want you to see. And there's so many more people I want you to impact. Because people are looking at our lives. They're not, what we say can mess them up if they don't see what we say in our lives.
On solid ground.
Oh, Lord, we thank you right now, God. We thank you, God. We thank you,
it makes me
that you love us so
it
much. We thank you, God, that you care about our soul's condition. We thank you right now, God, that you would not let us be walking around saying that we are not lost, but yet be lost right in the house of the Lord, right up under your word. Oh, God, right now, we thank you, God, that you will reveal to us, God. God, show us. Show us those areas that have become a distraction from your will, your plan, your way for our lives. Oh, God, we ask right now for that yes in our spirit. That yes in our spirit, oh, God. Oh, God, and help us to honor the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we are so thankful for you, oh, God. We are thankful that you live within us. We're thankful that you walk with us and you talk with us, that you teach us and lead us and you guide us. And God, we want to say yes. We want to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Oh, Father, we're thankful, God. Oh, God, we're looking forward to this year, oh, God. Letting things go. Letting things go that does not please you, God. We're looking forward to this year, God, speaking your truths and speaking your word and living out your word and seeing your word come to life in our life, oh, God. Oh, God, sometimes we've gotten so disillusioned because we've done things opposite of your word and we haven't got what your word promised. But, God, you are a promise keeper. And so, God, we're just looking forward to seeing your word come to fruition in our life. Bring forth your fruits in our life, God. Fruit that will remain, not up and down. Fruit that will remain, God. Your word promised that, God, that your fruit will remain. Oh, God, I pray right now for those that are in places that they want so badly to get out. Father, those places seem to be holding them that there is no other way. If they make a step right now, they feel like, how can I live or how could I go on or how could I benefit if I leave this place? But God, help them to trust you. Help them to trust you more than they trust themselves or the way that they have made. Remind them that you said that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, Father, help right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we rebuke the spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus. For you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And that someone right now, just one turn away, they're about to see the glory of God to show up so powerfully in their lives. God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, and we believe you, God, and we trust you, God, and we thank you, God. And God, help us to be accountable to one another. Accountability partners, God. Help us to encourage one another in you. Help us to lift one another up in the word. and in love. God, we thank you right now for this word, God. For this word today, God. In the name of Jesus. God, we will love you with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our spirit, and with all of our strength. We love you. With all God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. You guys, there's some of you that has already let me know you're going on a fast. And there are some of you that God is going to lead you into fasting. Please make sure that you come to raise your hand, Pastor Paul, raise your hand, Pastor Sam, Pastor David. For people that do not, please. If you're going to go on a fast, please go into the fast covered. The enemy is, because he knows you mean business, okay? Covered. And all that means is we touch and agree. We touch and agree with you, because God said where there are two touching and agreeing, we touch and agree, okay? Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. Come on. Tear your kingdom down. By doing it God's way. Yeah.